In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of us have gone out for a walk, and then when we're on the walk, we've met up with someone that we've known, and we've then enjoyed meeting them and talking with them. And of course, in this account which we read in Luke's Gospel, which we just read, we find that something similar happened. Let me begin in the passage just before Jesus met the disciples. We read that these two disciples, one of them is called Cleopas, and maybe it was also his wife with him. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. So they didn't recognize Jesus for some reason. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" says Jesus. Now we'll look and we'll find the disciples as our first point, the disciples' explanation of what has happened in these last few days. And then secondly, we'll see Jesus' response. Let us take the first point, the disciples' explanation of what has happened in these past few days. We read, they say, about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people, so they say. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And so we see here that obviously they had expectations of Jesus, as we talked to the young people earlier. They had believed that he was going to come into Jerusalem. They thought that he would deal with these Romans, that he would somehow free the city and free their land. And when he came and was crucified, they were disappointed. They were sad because it hadn't worked out as they had expected. And of course, as we look at this, it reminds us that many people do have wrong understandings of Jesus. Sometimes people come and they speak of their, maybe they're a bit lonely, and they think of Jesus as a friend, which indeed he is. But he's far more than a friend. Or they are sick and ill, and they think of Jesus as a healer. And of course he is, but far more. Or maybe they have a rather superstitious understanding of Jesus. It's almost like some magic with his name, and believe that he can be somehow used in some way. And we can see as we look down at this passage the importance of having a biblical understanding of who Jesus is. But furthermore, as we look at this, these disciples explain. They say, and what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Imagine a bit this situation here. Here are the disciples. They're describing that the women have gone to the tomb. They're describing that they met angels. And the angels have said that Jesus is alive. And other disciples have gone to the tomb and found it empty. And yet we read that just a few verses earlier, their faces downcast. They were sad. They were disappointed. And here they have the news that Jesus is alive. Just think how strange it would be if we all turned up on an Easter Sunday morning. And rather than be happy and rejoicing and praising the Lord for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are somewhat sad and unhappy and downcast, depressed. Wouldn't it seem a bit strange? And it certainly seems strange when we read these words and we see the attitude of these disciples. It seems that they were focusing so much upon the past. They remembered vividly that Christ was crucified on that cross. And that reminds us that we can so often look back on the past and just focus and think about it. While I was preparing this sermon, I listened to a sermon by a man called Dr. Lloyd-Jones, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who some of you may have heard of. He was a doctor who became a pastor and a well-known preacher of the last century. And he describes an occasion when it must have been about the time he was still a doctor or have just left medicine. He went to a church to speak there. And then it seems when he was there, the people there, the pastors especially, were very concerned about a teacher they knew. And they said he was ill. They described him as having like headaches and some problems with his digestion and being very depressed. And so he went along to see this man. And he said, like I suppose many doctors say, well, when did your symptoms first appear? And so this man begins to describe this teacher, how he was in the war. This would have been the First World War, in a submarine in the Mediterranean. And then he was in this submarine. And then there was a dull thud when a missile or torpedo somehow hit this submarine. And it began to sink. And he describes this as this submarine sinking and then stopped. And so the doctor said to him, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, said, go on, tell us the rest of the story. But the man said, well, that's it. I was in this submarine, there was this dull thud, and we began to sink. So the doctor asked him to tell the story again. And so he told the story, much the same story, maybe with a bit more detail. There was a thud, and the submarine began to sink. So the doctor was a bit puzzled and asked him again to tell the story. And it was the same thing. There was a thud and the submarine began to sink. So at last the doctor said to him, Dr. Lloyd-Jones, he said, but you're not still at the bottom of the Mediterranean, are you? And then this man began to explain how he was able to escape and was rescued. He was somehow found on the water by a passing boat. But the man himself was so focused on all this frightening experience in the past that somehow he had not moved on at all. And that reminds us, as we look at these disciples, we find these disciples were just the same, focusing upon the fact that Christ has died upon that cross, and they had not realized, they had not appreciated that Christ has risen. And it's possible for us too to be somewhat the same. We can come, we can remember these stories, look at the gospel. We know that these things happened a long time ago. And forget, of course, that Christ has risen from the dead. And not that we're told here in this passage, but in other passages, ascended to heaven. And the Holy Spirit has come, and we are able to experience through his Spirit, the resurrected Christ today. So let us also look at ourselves and think as to how we understand these things. Are we focusing on the past, or have we realized that now we're in a new age, a new period, Christ has risen? But let us come to our second point, Jesus' response. And we find that he calls them foolish. He says, how foolish you are. And how, or just first of all, he calls them foolish. Why would he call them foolish? Sometimes we call people foolish when we're a bit irritated with them. We call them some name or other. But Jesus wasn't doing this as some way to insult them. was calling them foolish because their thinking wasn't correct. These disciples were not thinking as disciples. They were not thinking as they should do. They were not understanding these scriptures as they should do. They were not thinking as believers. And of course, this is a challenge for ourselves to make sure that as believers, we are thinking as we should do. And then he says, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. They'd read the scriptures, they knew about the prophecies. And yet somehow it seemed to have made no difference to them at all. It has somehow come here and then failed to get to their heart. And so that also is a reminder and challenge to ourselves that it's not just enough to hear the word and hear the scriptures, but it must affect us. And then he says, did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them all what's said in the scriptures concerning himself. And no doubt Jesus explained many passages which prophesied concerning his coming, but also regarding his sufferings. Possibly passages such as Psalm 118, where it talks in that psalm of the stone that the builders rejected, which has now become the capstone. And Isaiah 53, where we read that he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And he no doubt gave many different passages of scripture which showed and spoke about his coming and the fact that he was to be a suffering Christ, a suffering Messiah. But it's interesting as we read a few verses on, because these disciples, this seems to have touched and affected the disciples. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" Why were their hearts burning within them? Because they met the resurrected Christ? No doubt that was wonderful. But we read that wasn't the reason their hearts were burning. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And as we see this, surely it's a reminder that as we hear the scriptures, that it's good and appropriate that our hearts burn within us when we hear the scriptures explained. And we can well ask ourselves, do our hearts burn within us when we start to understand the truths that there are in the scriptures? You may say, maybe a bit cheekily, and say, well, if the resurrected Christ was here, I'm sure my heart would burn within me. And of course, that's true. But at the same time, we can also remember that we have the Spirit of Christ within us, who gives glory to his name, and of course who bears witnesses to this truth that we find in Scripture. So let us summarize what we've said here. We first all looked at the explanation of the disciples of the past few days. We saw that they had a wrong understanding of Jesus, and we also saw that they were focusing so much upon the past they had not realized that Christ is resurrected. And furthermore, we saw secondly the response of Christ. He reminded them of the importance of thinking as believers. He also reminded them of the fact that it needs to go, the truth, from their head into their heart. And we find that these believers' hearts were also burning within them. So, as a conclusion, we can well ask ourselves, are we thinking as believers? Are we allowing the truths that we read in the scriptures to affect our hearts? And are our hearts burning within us when we hear the scriptures opened. May the Lord bless this word to your hearts.